going. I mean, I'm about to pick somebody. All right. No. All right. Let's go with Brother Joe. Show him how it's done. Brother Joe Tuck, you might as well.
Oh, Lord, I was not ready for that. 2 Peter 1:21. How much time do I have? Oh, okay, that makes it a little bit easier. 2 Peter 1:21. Let's see, do I have any notes in here on this verse? Oh, this is a good verse. Let's pray real quick. Father, I pray you give me wisdom, please, God. This is important. I'm behind a pulpit, our pastor's pulpit, God, and I don't want to say something that's wrong. I want to be edifying to your people, God, please. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, real simple. The Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let me just say this. These men were separated from all other men around them to be used of God. Are you separated? Amen? Are you separated? These men were separated for the work of God. Let me ask you a question. Could God use you in that way?
Yay, amen.
Could God use you in that way? Could he separate you to do something for him like that? Think about all the different authors in the Word of God. All of them. I don't know off the top of my head how many there are, but there's a lot of authors that are in this book from Genesis to Revelation, and God used Paul for 13 epistles. Amen? God separated these men to do a work for him. Listen up, young guys. If you separate yourself now unto the Lord, he'll use you in a great and mighty way. Young ladies, all you young ladies, all you young men, if you will separate yourself unto God right now, today. Hey, listen, you look around you in all this world. I'm doing a job up in Newark for this couple, and they know where I stand. They know my testimony. They're good people. She reads her Bible every day. I don't know if it's a King James Bible, but she asks me questions. Asks me about Halloween, Brother Ken. You know, about handing out candy and all that. They don't do the spooky costumes, but they do the silly costumes. And I told her how we felt as a church, how I felt as a person, and how God felt about that holiday, that wicked holiday. And I told her that if you take everything around you in this world that's going on, the average person who doesn't know like what you and I know and are taught week in and week out. But if you take everything that's going on in the world, the religious aspect of it, the political aspect of it, everything that's going on in the world today, all the storms, the hurricanes, earthquakes, everything you see going on, the economic, the fraud that's in our political system, the fraud that's in other Venezuela and all them other places, you take all that stuff and you stick it inside this box, and you look outside that box, into that box, that's prophecy. It really is. It's prophetic. It's all coming to a point where it's going to explode. Right? You know, timeline that we have here and all that. But these men, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, and nobody wrote it based upon what their opinion was, what their thought was, no private interpretation, none of that junk. They were moved by God to pen every word that you read in this book. Every last word. And I'll even go as far as to say this, even the italicized words. Amen? Every dot, every comma, there's a slash in like two places, I think, in the Bible, a little kind of hyphen or whatever they call that thing. Those things were all done by the Spirit of God. All of that was done. Every last word, every thought, every detail. Holy men of God, men separated for the work of God. Are you holy? Are you holy? Could God use you like that? Are you separated to be used by God as these men were? Amen? That was good. Amen? Amen, preacher.
Amen, Brother Joe. Thank you. That was good.
Oh, you want me to show how it was done?
18, yeah, it's Psalms 118, verse 8. I did not know what was going on. I was in there counting money. See, I can multitask, but I can't multitask that much while singing. The verse goes and says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Man. I could actually, it says somewhat to my testimony. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians I could also back up to. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken. I went way too far. Starting in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech was not with my... And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I, not to say that I had the worst life ever, but I kind of grew up in a kind of first 9 years of my life growing up. I grew up in kind of like a, you could say it was almost like abuse for the first 9 years from my stepfather. Not the one stand that just went and sat down, the one prior. Went through, I remember times holding my sister and crying. I know the time of fear, the trembling, being scared, having nothing else to hold on to, but just to say, Lord, I hope it's in your hands. I can trust in you. As my mom's sitting on the other side, the battling it out. And the only reason I can stand here now is because she trusted in the Lord. Amen. It was not by us or by her or by me, but it was by the power of God. Because we didn't take it in our own wisdom and our own strength and our own understanding. We just trusted in God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Good. That's good, Royce. Amen.
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 Okay, other Bryce. Would you like to go now?
Second Thessalonians 3:15. It says, ye count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And the Bible says, love your enemy as your neighbor. And a lot of people out in the world, a lot of the other religions, they don't like Christians. They don't like other people. They have enemies. And they go out and they try and kill them, just like what happened in Texas today. They went out and they tried to kill as many Baptists as they could just because they were their enemy and because they're in a religion of hate. And it's pretty bad, you know. I find it funny because, you know, most Muslims would make excellent Christians if you think about it because, you know, they pray at 5 o'clock or whatever time it is, like every single day at a certain time. They're very faithful. And they're faithful to the hate that they have. When yet all they have to do is just have to understand the truth. They have to realize that they shouldn't hate your brother. You should love your brother. Me, I have 6 other brothers, so we get in fights all the time. But I can tell you that even though I know they're going to hell right now, I don't want them to go to hell. I love them a whole lot. And, you know, I know it's by the grace of God that I still love them because they've done some things that tick me off, tick all you guys off too. But it says, love him not as an enemy, but as a brother. So, like Brother Ken said, you know, you might offend people, but you offend them because you love them. You don't offend them because you're out there to hurt them. You offend them because you truly care. You truly want them to be saved. You truly don't want them to go to hell. The devil, he doesn't love you guys as a brother. His last mission before he went, his last mission was to take out the whole human race. He said, God, you might have thrown me down from heaven, but I'm taking man from you. And, you know, now that we have Jesus, you know, God took us back. But for a while, you know, we were sinning a whole lot. You know, before we were saved, we were sinning, you know, almost every single day, all the time, probably 24/7. And, you know, like I said, you shouldn't hate them. You should love them, not as your enemy, but as your brother.
It's good stuff so far. All right, let's do... Brother Mike, in the back.
Well, this is further proof of Brother Ken is quoted, I believe it's Dr. Ruckman, that you should always be ready to preach, pray, or perish. And definitely didn't know that this was going on tonight, but you know what? No matter what I say tonight, it's God's word. Amen. And God's word can help us. Amen. I can't help anyone. I can't help myself, but God can help us. Amen. And as we turn to 1 Corinthians 16:13, I wonder how many of those people at that church were ready to meet their maker. It's getting dark. We're living in perilous times, the Bible says, and it's just proof that it's getting darker and darker, and we're getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord, and I look forward to that day. Amen. It's when we're going to receive glorified bodies that feel no pain anymore, and we'll be with the Lord forevermore. So 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. That phrase, quit you, you might look at that and think, like, what does that mean? Quit. I thought quitting was a bad thing. It means to conduct yourselves like men. And that goes for women, too. Women, conduct yourselves as strong, godly women. Amen. Be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Watch ye. We should be watching for the Lord, looking for his return, praying for it. I have a note in here that says 1 Samuel 4:9. I don't know what it is, but let's take a look. It's got to have something to do with this verse. I wrote it myself. It was something that the Lord must have been speaking to me that day. 1 Samuel 4:9. Says, be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And what that tells me is that the Old Testament and the New Testament align perfectly. It's God-breathed. You know, those who say that, you know, the Bible was written by men, like that first verse that we read, it wasn't written by men. it was written by prophets of old as they were moved by God. And this is proof that, the Bible is completely cohesive and has a consistent message, and that is follow God.
Amen.
And conduct yourselves like men. Be strong, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. You know, exercises like this tonight are good for us men, that we should constantly be reading our Bibles and in prayer and in fellowship with God and with our fellow brothers and sisters. We need to be ready to give an answer for anyone to ask for the hope that is in us. How are we treating our families when we're at home? How do we act when we're by ourselves? That is what makes the character of a man. What do you do when no one is watching you?
Yeah. Amen.
Can you get ready to be up here at a moment's notice and give something from the Lord? I don't feel like I'm ready, but I try. I try each day to be a man of God.
Amen.
I fail. But I see tonight that we have a lot of men of God in this church, and that's a blessing.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Earl Cole. Welcome back here, buddy. He was like ducking his head, but he's really tall, so it didn't work for him.
Self-proclaimed king. Amen. That world.
Yeah.
John 10:9.
Yeah.
All right, John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And it's saying that Jesus Christ is the door, and I believe that we're like, we should be like the doorkeeper, you know what I'm saying? Like, we should keep bring people to that door. Because the only way people can find that door is if, you know, like at a hotel, fancy hotel, you got a doorkeeper that takes the bags or whatever. And you should be the one taking the bags for other people. That way they can get in the door, you know what I'm saying? And that way they can enter in on salvation, you know? Because the only way they're going to find out is somebody tells them. And a lot of people, they're scared to tell people and bring their friends in. Like, and you got plenty of opportunities in this church, like Gym Night, Brother Eric has, and Seven Pillars. All them outreaches that they got, there's no reason why we don't bring enough people in. But we got, I guess, fear in us. You know, fear of man bring the snare. But I believe that we should be good doorkeepers and, you know, keep the door and, you know, bring people in and show people that there is a way out, you know. There is a way to get away from hell, you know, escape the greater death.
Like, he does. He has this shed. Apparently, it's a shed, right, Earl? A shack. All right, it's a shack in his backyard. And him and a bunch of the boys go over there, and they literally just preach to each other for hours a day. So I think it's awesome. I'm like, if that's how you're spending your fun time, that's pretty good. And so we've got a couple boys that are competing against each other on how long they pray. We got a couple other boys that are trying to read the Bible faster than each other. So I love that. I'm like, you guys are having fun and getting something from God. I mean, you can't really get that encourages me. I like stuff like that. Let's go with Mike Collins.
I appreciate that. That's wrong right there, brother. Nowhere else to go but up. So before I get started, I want to say that there's really nowhere else better that I'd rather be on a Sunday night than with my church family.
Amen.
And see, if you guys have trouble finding something to pray about each and every night, take a look around.
Amen.
Take a real hard look around and ask yourself, are you praying enough for the people that you see beside you?
Amen.
And my verse is Zechariah 10:12. And keep these people in thought and prayer every day, because you never know when they're going to need it. The devil is strong, and he doesn't care how hard you work. He doesn't care how much you read your Bible. He doesn't care how much you pray. He wants to attack you every day, all the time. The problem with that is not having a good prayer life and not being in this book weakens us. Doesn't give us the strength that we need to protect ourselves. So if I can encourage you to remember that there's a mess of people that are sitting right here with you right now that have problems. And not a lot of us like to talk about the things that go on at home, right? Amen. And what happens is we forget to pray for the people in here.
Right.
I am not saying do not concern yourself with the ones out there. It is our job to be a light for the ones out there, right? But sometimes you forget about the ones sitting right in here who need to be strengthened and need the prayer. So I just wanted to say before I go, in chapter 10, the book of Zechariah, in verse 12, and it says, "And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." Oh, isn't that funny? Kind of goes right with what I did, see? I knew. He told me before I'd get up here. That's why I allowed him to use the nine-finger joke, right? So that way I knew exactly what I was looking for before I got up here. So, so it says, "And I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord." The tools that you need to get through as a Christian sit right here in these pews. So just how I was saying before, and I didn't have any idea that this is what it was going to be about. We forget about the church family. And, you know, I'm going to testify to something here. I don't have a family like you guys would think I have a family. What's past the door where me, my wife, and my two children sit, there is no other family for Mike. None. There's some things that had happened in the past, and there's things that they still do that I wish not to be part of.
Amen.
And I don't see myself with them anymore because they can't strengthen me in the Lord.
Right.
They have no interest in doing what it is that I want to do with my family.
Amen,
through the Lord.
Amen.
All right? I don't want to be someone that does not have a relationship with God nor what he wants in my life. A lot of times we forget about what it is that God truly wants. We talk about it all the time in that little room over there. Is what happens is we concern ourselves with what we want, how we feel. And we forget that not only is your job to strengthen yourself in what the Lord wants for you so that you could be a tool to help strengthen someone else. So what I would suggest is start looking and dissecting yourself and ask yourself something. Am I a strong part of Faith Baptist Church? Am I a oiled part that will keep the engine running in Faith Baptist Church to where I would be walking up and down in the name of the Lord and people would know that for a fact? You're branded with it.
Yeah.
Am I branded with it? And if you aren't, what is it that you need to get you there?
Yeah.
And I would suggest asking somebody. Get involved as part of Faith Baptist Church. Get involved with the family members. Like I said, some of us, you guys don't know, but some of us don't have an extended family outside of these doors. I don't have anybody. Brother Joe can testify. When I have a problem, it's usually Joe or Josh I call. I had somebody that my daughter showed up to my house and the front door was wide open. And we didn't know if there was somebody. I was miles and miles away. Couldn't get there in time. I called Joe. Because that's my family. This is my family. When somebody in here is hurting, and sometimes I hear a lot. Sometimes I hear more than I want to hear. But the only thing that I'm thinking is, well, what are we doing about it to help them get out of the rut they're in? You know what I mean? Because the seats will just continue to get more and more empty, and there won't be anybody walking up and down in the Lord. Not one soul will be doing it. Because what will happen is we'll pluck each other off one at a time. And you know who's going to strengthen you doing that? He'd be right there on your back.
Yep.
Keep doing what you're doing. Because
yep.
You are a faithful servant. Right? That's what's going to happen. You just pluck each other off one at a time. And before you know it, nobody would be walking up and down in the Lord, not one of you. And I always thought, well, I'm strong. I'm in this book morning and night. I fellowship all the time. And for me, I have to get ready for Sunday school because I got kids in the age group who, like Ken said, they know when you're fake. Amen. I do third and fourth grade boys, man, and they know. If you're not prepared, they're going to see right through you. And you can't put a verse on the board that you can't repeat yourself. That would be insane to ask them that, hey, I need you to memorize this verse this month, and you couldn't do it yourself. Amen. So you have to stay sharp for that, and I figure, well, I'm doing that, staying sharp for that. Seven pillars, then people will use and abuse you. So you have to be sharp for that. And let me tell you something, devil didn't care. And he's attacking me at this very moment. At this very moment. And you know who's going to help me through that? The Lord and you. You. I have to rely on you. So if I have to rely on you to make sure that I am walking up and down in the strength of the Lord, could you help me? Are you prepared to do what you got to do to help me continue serving the Lord? Where are we at as a church, right? So.
I was sitting back there while he was preaching. I was thinking, he gets up here, he's saying all that stuff before ever looking at the verse. Yeah. And I'd already turned there, and I'm thinking, this matches everything he's saying right now. Yeah. Like, and what's crazy is Brother John and Miss Holly were just over there right before service, just writing down random verses. But yet, that whole time that's happening, God's doing it.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me. Like, I've told people before, the little stuff is what proves there's a God to me. I mean, there's some big things that God's done in my life, and I'm like, man, obviously God's real. But that right there, that had to be God. Like, well, there's no way that's a coincidence. There's like thousands upon thousands of verses in here they could have picked, and there's anybody I could have picked, and it all happened to fall right there. And God said, I had this for Faith Baptist Church tonight. Out of a random popcorn preaching, I think that's amazing how big our God is, that he designed that entire thing. I mean, he's got a lot to do. All right, this is a big world. And he was like, I'm going to make Brother John write down this verse, and I'm going to have Michael Shane prick Mike Collins. That's insane. And he already had that on his heart, obviously, since he came up here with that.
Yep.
So that's awesome how God did that. That's a blessing. And I got convicted out of it. One thing he said right at the end, he said, it would be crazy for me to write a verse on the board and not memorize it. And there's been verses I wrote to the teens, and sometimes I just write it real quick that morning, and I forgot about it and didn't memorize it that week. And the Lord just said, you need to work on that.
Amen.
And so that convicted me. Thank you for the mic. I just want to say that in front of my church.
Amen.
And I need to work on that. That was good. Thank you. Let's have, raise your hand. Yeah, sure. Come on, buddy. All right, Chris. Show them how it's done, man. There you go, buddy.
Ooh. I'm giddy. Look. Acts chapter 10, verse 23, please. Well, the Bible says that in verse 23 of Acts chapter 10, then he called them in and lodged with them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, I just wanted to expound on the first part of that verse there. Then he called them in. A lot of people out in this world today aren't going to come here on their own. I'm no better. I mean, I have problems witnessing the people, but there were times where I'd go to school and say, here's a gospel tract, come to church. And you got to realize a lot of people will come to church if you just simply invite them.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's why I tell people who will go to churches, I say, just ask them. If the worst they could say is no. But... But that's the thing, is that a lot of people, like, there's some people don't even know this church is here.
Right.
And Mr. Huff, who is here, I was coming off my bus, and I gave him a tract, and I said, he that's how he found out we were here. He had no idea this church was here.
Amen.
So I said, yeah, come on out. And that's what we got to do. We got to call them in.
Amen.
And that's the problem today, is that a lot of people aren't inviting people to church. A lot of people aren't witnessing to other people as they should.
Yeah.
And yet we wonder why we got such problems in this country today. It's because people are not taking a stand for the Lord Jesus like they should. And that's the problem. That's why we got all this problems going in this nation today, as well as all over the world. It's because people aren't taking a stand for Jesus.
Amen.
That's all I'm good. That's all I got.
He's like, I just wanted to tear the roof down. That's it. Yeah. That was awesome, Chris. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's so practical, too. All I can say is no. I mean, that was awesome. All right, let's have Brother Eddie Fouracre.
Come on, buddy. Give me a bad one. Come on. He didn't give me one of the bad verses in the Bible. Joshua 1:9. Yeah, man, Joshua 1:9, man. Pastor Ken. Amen. Been fun tonight. It's kind of the whole idea of this, is to have fun. Get up here and you don't know what to say, just brag on the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Nervous and cold hands take forever to turn. Amen. Hallelujah. I found when you get fat, you have to keep moving your pants a lot. Right? Try. I don't want to use offensive language, Ken. I apologize for using the word fat. I am I'm big boned. I'm like dinosaur, big bone. Amen. That's true. Yeah, so I'm tired tonight. I'm running on a Canton store breakfast sandwich. Amen. It gets you running twice. I mean, first. Amen. If you ever had one, you know what I'm talking about. I apologize. For, if you haven't had one, it'd change your life. $4.95. If Alex gets it, it's $6. All right. So pray. Amen. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
How can you say any better than that?
Amen.
For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Amen.
Yeah.
And like Chris said, you know, you go out there, and you know, what are they going to do, say no?
Yeah.
I remember going out there with Roe and different men and Samson. We'd go to New York. We'd go to Philadelphia. We'd go down to D.C., and Roe get arrested. And we'd have a good time. And we'd go to these places, and we'd stand on street corners, and we'd preach in the subways in New York and all that stuff. And no matter where we went, the Lord was just always with us.
Amen.
And we'd go down we'd just go down to Dover and preach in front of the Walmart. Me and Joe, we'd go down there all the time, and me and Brother Dan, we'd go knocking on doors around here on visitation for years, and we'd just show up at door after door, and somebody'd have a story to tell, or somebody'd have something to say, and no matter where we went, the Lord was just with us. And I get married, and my wife gets sick, and things get hard, and no matter where I went, the Lord was with us.
Amen.
And she gets so bad, and I'd fall on the floor, because I didn't know where else to go, because there was only one place to go, and he was already there with me. Always there with us. Always there with us.
Amen.
He said earlier in the verse, he said, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. I know it can be scary sometimes to want to go out there and do the things that we do with giving out tracts and telling people about Jesus Christ. And some of the people you meet, and you just get nervous at times, and you can't help it. It happens. And as many times as you've done it, it still somehow seems that, you know, you still get hesitant. You get out there and you're like, no, I don't know if I want to do it this time. You just got to fight through those things.
Amen.
You know why? Because God commanded thee.
Yep.
He's commanded thee to be strong. You know, he's got, in the Romans, he talks about the whole armor of God and putting it on, you know, putting on grabbing the shield of faith and putting your helmet of salvation and your breastplate of righteousness and put all those things on, and about being, you know, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. God's commanded you to be ready. God's commanded us as men to be strong for our families, for our wives, for our kids, for our little ones, for our cousins, our uncles, our brothers, our sisters. He's commanded us to be strong and of a good courage.
Yeah.
Because we can. Not because we have strength or because we can fight or we can do anything, but because he's given us the strength. He's given us the ability to fight. He's given us the power. He's given us everything we need. And he's always there with us, whithersoever. That's why it says that right in the after that. It's not about the men having the strength to do it. It's that God is there with them.
Amen.
Regardless of where he sends you, regardless of where you have to go, regardless of if friends around you disappear, regardless if people travel out and you stay where you are, you can be strong and you can be courageous.
Amen.
Have not I commanded thee?
Good, buddy. I'm going to cheat. I get to pick my own verse. If you go up to verse 8, I was just looking at this. So I just want to say it. Verse number 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." So all that leads to verse 9 saying, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and good courage." Before all that, it all comes down to the book of the law. Read that day and night. So you want to have success? You want to be a successful Christian? Bible says it plain and clear. Read the Bible every day.
Yep.
You want to be a good Christian? You want to do what's right? The Word of God. That's why I like that verse there. All right. I got to check my own verse. That's cool. All right. All right. Big name tonight. Someone, one of my favorite preachers who I called to preach long ago, Eric Tweed. God hasn't called him yet, but praise the Lord. Pray that. He'll accept mine.
Exodus 15:2. It says, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him." It's a good verse. I was raised in church all my life, had a good family and all that, and that's my life. I mean, just, I got saved when I was young, got saved when I was 7, and I was growing up in this, growing up in church, worshiping God, and that's, I was raised as he's become my exaltation and all that. I've learned as I got older that he's, when you're young, you don't understand. A lot of these people talk about what you've went through and all that, the strength, but you don't understand that when you're young. But as you get older, start becoming financially independent, and things start happening in your life, that's when you start to realize that the Lord's your strength, and that you go back to him, and
Amen.
That's the only comfort there is for you.
Amen.
All right, got a couple more. So let's have Brother Eric Riley. We'll back it up with another Eric.
Second Samuel 22:7. I'll try to keep my jokes to a minimum because I'm not very funny. If you can't laugh at yourself, you know, whole deal. Samuel 22:7. Let's see here. Bible says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." Well, this is a Psalms of Thanksgiving, David speaking it. Well, if you want to apply this thing spiritually or devotionally to a Christian in the church age, is that your body is the temple of God. And when you cry out to God, like Brother Ryan said this morning, you've got a Jewish man living inside of you. You got the Savior, Jesus Christ, living inside. Your body is the temple of God. The Bible said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord." I remember a time when I was out in the world, like Brother Eric Tweed said. I grew up in church. I grew up in church. I grew up around all this stuff. And, man, I grew up underneath a good preacher. Brother Sammy Ingram, he was a good preacher. And, man, it just goes in one ear and out the other. And you don't pay attention to it. And young folks, it's just natural to turn away from God. That's just what your natural being is. That's the natural man inside of you. You don't want nothing to do with God. Your body rejects anything foreign. The Holy Spirit of God is the most foreign thing to the human body that could be. You're naturally, by nature, going to reject it. And so sometimes you got to go through some things. And God's got to bring you down to a level where you can say, you know what, I need God. And that's what happened for me. I got to a point in my life where I had to realize, man, I'm not saved. I'm running from God, and he's about to kill me. He's about to take me home. He's tired of me. And I cried out to God, and he heard my cry. And it wasn't in a church house. I was by myself. I was in a room where I knew that I was in a hotel room with some people, and I was partying. I was robbing people, doing all kinds of wickedness. And I'm not glorifying it. It was wicked. But the Lord heard my cry. I said, God, if you get me back to a place where I can get alone with you, I'll get right with you. I'll give my life to you. And he got me back home, the place I was living, by myself. And I got down, I opened up the Bible, and it was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And that's what it took. It took me trusting the Lord, and that's what David's saying. He said, I knew there was no other way, but I called out to God. He trusted God. And he said he heard him out of his temple, and your body's the temple of God. The Bible says, know ye not that your body's the temple of God? It's your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. Once God's came inside of you, he heard your cry, and he came and filled you with his Holy Spirit. Now he expects some things from you. He held his end of the bargain. Now it's your job as a Christian to uphold your end of the bargain. What are you going to do? Are you going to just take what God gave you and leave it and say, thanks a lot, pal? Spit in his face? That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you're filling your body up with cigarettes and liquor and alcohol and you're running around. Maybe you're not doing those things. But maybe your heart's just filled with idolatry. You're putting things before God. He heard your cry, and he'll hear it again. It's not too late. Just because you accepted it, maybe you got away from God. But it's not too late. He'll hear your cry again. As humans, we're always in distress. We're a needy people. I know I'm a needy person. I need God every millisecond. I'm not talking about every second. I'm talking every millisecond. If he gives me 1 second of my own to myself, I'll mess up. And I told you the story about the washer and dryer. You know I'll mess up and shock myself. I'm telling you. But the Lord will hear your cry. Call out to him. It's pride that keeps a man from getting saved, and it's pride that keeps a man from getting right with God. You say, I don't want to hear what them preachers are saying. I don't want to go out and witness. I don't want to make a mockery of myself. The Bible says that Jesus Christ bore your sin. He went outside the camp bearing a reproach. It's in the book. Read it. That's our job. We cried out to him, and now he wants something from us. To serve him. That's your reasonable service.
All right, two more. So we're going to have 2.0. Boom, check. Amen.
Let's see what we got. All right. This is a way bigger audience than, like, the three people in Earl Shed. 1 Samuel 15:23. All right, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Idolatry. I think that's right. Idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and thou hast rejected thee from being king. All right, well, there's a lot of religions that reject Jesus as being king, and look at them now. Like, I'm just going to start out as Muslims. Like, Muslims are being hated all over the world. Just like the terrorist attacks and everything. And guess what they do? They reject the Lord. If you reject the Lord, that's kind of like, they don't see it as this way, but us Christians, we see it this way. When you reject the Lord, you're pretty much rejecting your gift from going to heaven. Like, they're not the type of person that understand that, to be honest, the Lord's convicting me right now. If I knew my Bible better, I would be. All right. That's kind of a message in itself. Like, this is the Lord convicting me right there, knowing my Bible better. I feel like if I would just stayed one night, like, just staying up and just studying my Bible, maybe I'd be able to preach this better. Maybe if, like, I took 5 more minutes out of my day just to look up a YouTube video about, I'm not going to say YouTube videos are great. Amen. They're really not. There's, like, so many YouTube videos, and then you, like, go back and It's like NIV everywhere. It's really bad. Like, there's only like, oh, this is a horrible message. I feel so. All right, well, yeah, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness and iniquity and adultery because thou hast rejected the word. I'm just going to say right there, rejecting the word, if you reject the word, you're rejecting life. You're rejecting your gift into heaven. That's just.
Amen. Good job, buddy. Good job. Amen. He did a good job. All right, for our main event, the final paper is the best we got, Carl Tweed. Everybody, I really pumped you up there, so don't fail.
I'll try not to. Right. Okay, Hebrews 2:9. The last two times I preached up here, you were actually doing the service.
Is that for you, buddy? Love you, man.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned the glory of and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Well, I'm thankful for God for everything he's done for me. I surely don't deserve to be behind this pulpit. I surely don't deserve to be called to preach. I really don't take it for granted. I really don't. And I thank God for dying on the cross for my wretched sins. I thank him for so much what he's done that he had to take the death for me. And I just want to thank him for everything he's done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job, Carl. Amen. Amen. And that was our final one. I think it's been good tonight. Amen. I think every single guy who got up here had something from the Lord. Yeah. That's a blessing that God can use us, even the simple things, 5 minutes, God can say something to our church. That's a blessing. So if you guys enjoyed that, make sure you go around, shake the guys' hands who did get to preach, and tell them thank you if you got something out of it. I trust that you did. Amen. Let's pray and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for how good you are. God, I thank you for meeting with us. God, we're so unworthy of you even coming into this building, Lord. There's so many times that I've sinned and my wickedness, God, should prevent you from being here. But God, I thank you for coming here in spite of me. God, I pray you forgive me for anything that would hinder your presence or your moving. And God, I pray that you just please be with my church. God, I pray that you help our hearts. God, I pray you help us grow together in one mind, as Brother Jim was saying. God, I believe it was Brother Joe, I'm sorry, this morning with Nehemiah, one mind, Lord, going to work for you, God. I pray this you would use our church, God, to reach people and reach the lost. But God, as Brother Mike was saying, God, I pray we'd pray for those that, God, are here in this church right now trying to do right, God, are weary and well-doing, God. I pray we pray for them. And God, it'd be our prayers that get them through, Lord. And I pray we wouldn't forget about those that have fallen out, God, but we try to get them back in. And those that are on the fence, Lord, we try to just get them back on the right side, God. I pray that you just help us. And I pray you help our pastor, Lord, as he's traveling, God, keep him safe. God, thank you for a man of God who's been leading us for 30 years, God. And I thank you for his faithfulness and, God, all that he's showed me, God, and his testimony, God. And I just pray that I can be half the man he is, Lord. I just thank you for him. God, I pray you just dismiss us with your blessing. Thank you for a good time in the Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.